Our next pair of speakers, many of you already know of. In August 2014, there weren't a whole lot of people in the United States that were not watching a young missionary physician climb out of the back of an ambulance, be it on CNN or Fox News, ABC, NBC, CBS. Everyone was riveted by that scene as he walks in a hazmat suit into Emory University Hospital to receive treatment for the Ebola virus, which he had contracted while serving at Elwa Hospital in Liberia. Last year, we had the opportunity to hear a brief amount from Kent, and we asked Kent and Amber to come back this year to share with us their reflections on what it meant to them to be called as medical missionaries and then to serve in Liberia. If you've not had the opportunity, I encourage you to read their book, Called for Life. It is fascinating and gives you tremendous insight into two people that are thoroughly committed to serving our Lord. So, Ken and Amber, why don't you come on up and join us?
Good evening. I'd like to start with a prayer, if we could. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for this evening, for this weekend, for this time to learn, to be encouraged, to reflect on your calling. And Father, I pray that over the next few minutes, we pray that you would speak through us. Pray that you would move us out of the way so that you might speak to the hearts of the people here. And we pray this through Jesus' name. Amen. It is really an honor to be here this weekend. The last time I was here in this place was last year at Prescription for Renewal when I shared my testimony and I shared the story of how God saved my life in the face of what seemed like certain death. And we're honored to be here together this year, and we'll talk about that experience some more. But one of the reasons it's so special to be here is because this place is really special to us. And the last time that we were here together was right after I got out of the hospital at Emory, and we came here and they tucked us away in a cabin in the woods for about a month. And so being back here, It's more emotional than I expected it to be, and it's really special to be able to come back together. I cannot share my story without talking about our experience with Ebola. It will forever be a pivotal part of my story and our story. And so as we talk tonight, we'll touch on some of that for sure. And I know that this is the continuing medical education portion of the weekend, and I hope that there's something educational taken away from this talk. But what we really want to share this evening is our story of God's call on our lives and his work in our lives. And so that's where we're going to start.
So who were Kent and Amber Brantley before Ebola? I'm a pastor's kid. A good one. I turned out all right so far. My parents very intentionally raised my siblings and I. I'm one of seven. I'm number two of seven. With a very big worldview, even though we grew up in America, they intentionally taught us of other places and peoples and that there are people in the world who have not heard of Jesus. And part of that was taking us to Mexico several times a year to visit a missionary that we supported on the border. And through those trips, I gained such a love for the people and the language and the missionary family and learned so much in that as from a young age and on. There was mostly the work we did to support him was build an addition to his building or dig a new latrine or put on a VBS, you know, the very good old mission trip stuff. It was after my senior year of high school, one summer when I went down with, I just remember being there with my dad. I think it was just him and I on a trip. And I just did not want to come home. I begged him to let me stay for the rest of the summer. I had a few more weeks before college started. And he couldn't let me just do that at the spur of the, you know, in the moment. He's leaving. He can't just leave me. But I remember the whole drive home, you know, trying to plot a way to get back, just thinking, how can I still be there? And that was really the beginning of this stirring in my heart for mission work and what it might be like for me to do that. And I also wanted to be a nurse. I was determined nursing major from the beginning. But I had never witnessed a nurse and a missionary, and I wish I had known all of you who pioneered that long before I did. I started college thinking, how am I going to put these together? I want to be a nurse, but I think he's calling me to be a missionary. I was beautifully naive, and I signed up for my first mission trip with a couple of nursing students and witnessed a nurse practitioner and nurses on the mission field in Honduras. And that was life-changing for me, that I wasn't a pioneer. People knew how to do this, and I could do this too. And I also got to meet a pre-med student and teach him how to take blood pressure because he didn't know anything. So it was a formative summer for me in a number of ways.
I also want to say that it is really humbling to be up here sharing our story with you all. After the speakers that have been on this stage just in the last hour, who have each individually been on the mission field for at least tenfold as long as we have been. But it's true that God can use anybody, and maybe this is our small beginning. I was one of those guys who had no idea what he wanted to do when he went to college, but he was excited about everything. And after my freshman year and doing some career counseling, I thought I could be a high school math teacher and lead kids on mission trips during the summer because that's what my high school math teacher did, and he was a cool guy. And then I took a semester of education classes and quickly decided that wasn't for me. And I had an experience doing a semester of study abroad in Oxford, England, where I realized that even though I didn't know what I wanted to do, that I wanted to spend the rest of my career at this Christian university in Abilene, Texas, studying the Word of God and learning from the Bible teachers and the theologians and the preachers and the great disciples who were accessible to me at that time And so I became a Bible major. And as I finished my degree in biblical text, I still didn't know what I wanted to do. But between my junior and senior year, I had to do a ministry internship of some sort. And a lot of my friends were going to be youth ministry interns in Atlanta, Georgia, and things like that. And that did not appeal to me at all. And one of my friends said, why don't you come to Africa with me? He had spent the previous two summers in Uganda, and he believed the Lord was calling him to life as a missionary in Western Uganda. And so he wanted to see the rest of East Africa and see what some other missionaries in that area were doing. And so that sounded like a great idea to me, and I joined him for the summer. And God changed my life that summer. And through the experiences of working with these three different mission teams in Kenya and Tanzania, I began to feel God calling me to life as a missionary. And so as I ended my Bible degree, I thought, I'm not a preacher, I'm not a teacher, I need some way to serve people in the name of Christ, and that I can do that. And my father was a physician, and I'd been exposed to that my whole life. I had an aunt and uncle who were medical missionaries in Tanzania for a number of years, and I thought, I will try to go to medical school. And I prayed, God, if I will try to go to medical school, and if this is what you would have for me, then open the doors and I'll walk through them. And if it's not, then slam those doors shut and I'll do something different. And I still today can proclaim that absolutely nothing has gone as I expected from that day forward. But that summer changed my life, and as I headed down the road of medical education, I tried to make choices to nurture that calling. And one of the things that I did along the way was attend the Global Missions Health Conference in Louisville, Kentucky. And that's where I met the people from Samaritan's Purse. And I learned about the post-residency program. And I learned that when I finished my medical training, I could be paired with a mentor on the mission field to help mentor me and help me make that transition over the first 2 years of my career as a missionary. And as I progressed through my training, that seemed like a really great way to get started in this calling that we then shared as a married couple. And we applied during my last year of residency. We applied to the post-residency program. We were accepted. And during that interim, as we were trying to decide where we would go, it was at that conference once again where we met Dr. Rick Sacra. Rick is an SIM missionary. He's a family physician. He had been working at Elwha Hospital in Liberia for almost 15 years. And he shared with me his passion, his vision for the work that he was doing there, and his dream and his plans for starting a family medicine residency program for Liberian physicians. And I connected with Rick personally and professionally, and I could share in his vision for the work that God was doing in Liberia. And I ran and grabbed Amber from one of the sessions and said, you got to come meet this guy. And less than a year later, we moved to Liberia. And we took our two young children, who were 2 and 4 at that time, and started our life on the beach.
People will probably, hopefully not forever, but still associate us with Ebola. But there really was a life in Liberia before Ebola. And it was wonderful and hard and beautiful and challenging and all the things that you all have experienced as short-term or long-term missionaries yourselves. But we loved it. And all the things that you just heard the parents say, yes, amen to all of that. And
we were elbowing each other. They're like, we're not
unique.
We've
thought that. We've said that. Yeah. We felt so privileged to be able to take our kids with us and to raise them in a foreign culture, but in a culture of service and of loving our neighbor and all the things. We, I don't know if, how much time we do we need to talk specifically about. I don't know. Probably some of you have been to Liberia. So they speak Liberian vernacular English, which we don't. And we weren't there for very long, that it, we were still very honeymooning in the culture shock stage of life before Ebola hit, and then it hit hard. But we do have very fond memories of Liberia, and it will always be very special to us, and we loved eating fresh fish out of the ocean, and we loved playing in the mud and building swimming pools and all of that.
We took family walks on the beach, and just this past spring, I was invited to a conference at Pepperdine University in California, and I was had a very small speaking role there, but I got to spend a couple of days there in a house on the beach, and I got to reconnect with an old acquaintance from college who is now an internal medicine doctor in Texas. And he and I were up early one morning sitting on the beach drinking our coffee, and I was reminiscing to him about how this reminded me of Liberia. I was never a beach person before we moved to Liberia.
Well, and Monrovia is very different than Malibu.
Yeah. But as I shared with him the memories of our family walks on the beach and going swimming in the ocean, and it blew his mind. He was like, wow, when I think of you and Liberia, all I think of is Ebola, but you guys had a life there before that. And we did. And in a lot of ways, for the last year, we've been grieving the loss of the life we had there, of the community that we were a part of, that will never be the same as it was before Ebola. And of the life that we were setting out on. We were just getting started in what we had been working towards for so long. And we've had to grieve the loss of that for the last year. But God is faithful, and he's called us, and his calling didn't end because our circumstances changed. Life in the hospital in Liberia was difficult. The country's been devastated by 20 years of civil war and conflict and dictators, and although we are now 12 years into the time of peace following the peace accord in 2003, it is a palpable part of everyday life there. The interpersonal interactions are still influenced by the experience that people went through for so long. And that makes working in the hospital difficult. That makes working with your colleagues cross-culturally very challenging. It makes understanding what's happening with a patient very challenging. And beyond all of that, working in a place with the medical resources of Liberia is difficult. Last year, when I was here, I shared the story of my very first patient. It was a 12-year-old boy with type 1 diabetes who died of DKA. My very first patient as a medical missionary was a 12-year-old boy who died of a disease I thought I was fully capable of treating. And that was just the beginning. So life was beautiful and good. It was also very challenging and hard. And in late March of 2014, we heard the word Ebola for the first time. And I'm thankful for my colleagues, for John Fankhauser and Debbie Eisenhut, who had the foresight to say, we have to begin preparing immediately. Even though this thing is 280 miles away in another country, we have to prepare immediately, because if a patient with Ebola shows up at our hospital and we're not prepared, it's going to cost the lives of our friends and our colleagues and our coworkers here. So we began preparing our staff and our facilities, and when Ebola came to Monrovia, we engaged in the care of patients with Ebola, and we became the first treatment unit in the area of Monrovia. to take care of patients. And then the government hospital opened a treatment unit, and then we closed both of those units and opened another unit operated by Samaritan's Purse and SIM, and we became the only treatment unit once again for patients in Monrovia, just as the outbreak was beginning to mushroom in late July. July 23rd, I woke up sick. 3 days later, I was diagnosed with Ebola. And what followed with my illness and my evacuation and my recovery and our family's ordeal through that and the attention we have received following that ordeal, that's all a very long story. And we've shared it in lots of venues, and we've written it in our book. And we have been amazed over and over at how God has used that story to impact lives around the world. And it's been an encouragement to a lot of people. We've heard from our friends and colleagues in over 40 countries who read about us in their local news, who were praying with us with their local churches, and who were encouraged by the unity and the support that they saw rallying behind us in our suffering. And it's been a testimony to a lot of people. People who say, why in the world would a young family move to a place like that? What were those people doing there before? And they hear our story, and they hear that we went there because Jesus loves us, and he has commanded us to love our neighbor. And that includes our neighbors in Liberia. That includes 12-year-old boys with type 1 diabetes. And they've said, maybe I need to know more about this Jesus. Or that's not what I thought Christians were like. Or that's really interesting. Let's talk some more. And it's been challenging to some people who say, you know, God, I remember when I felt like God was calling me to missions and my life circumstances changed, I never pursued that. I wonder what it would look like if I went and did that again. Or people who have said, my faith has been strengthened through this. I've realized that God is calling me to something more in my own life. And we've been amazed as we've seen God use our story. And that's why we keep sharing it. With the time we have left this evening, rather than going into the details of that story, I want to share just some of our reflections on the lessons we've learned through our experience. And one of those lessons goes back to a brief moment in a retreat we were on in the middle of March of 2014, right before we first heard the words Ebola outbreak. We had gone on the spiritual life retreat with the other SIM missionaries at Elwha Hospital. And the missionary couple who had come to lead that retreat, one of the lessons they taught the center point of the lesson was, when the going gets tough, the tough go back to their calling. And that sounded really catchy when we heard it the first time, and we thought, wow, that's a good lesson. And I wrote it down in my notebook, and I had no idea how important that lesson was about to become. And through this experience of the last year, we've learned that when the going gets tough, you do have to go back to your calling. We had to remember that we were in Liberia because God had called us. He called us to be ambassadors of the kingdom of God, to be ambassadors of reconciliation. He called us to make disciples. And that's what we were doing there. And knowing, being reassured in that calling in the midst of suffering, in the midst of what seems like a crisis, for us brought a tremendous amount of peace. We talk about the peace that passes understanding, and I've experienced that peace knowing that despite my circumstances, despite my suffering, God has called me, and I am living into that calling, and that's okay. And another lesson that I've learned that's related to that one is actually a lesson I learned back in that summer I spent in East Africa. I learned that summer that God will give you everything you need to be faithful to Him. I always thought of that in kind of material terms, not necessarily stuff, but as in God will give me the resources I need to accomplish the task He's given me. But as I lay in my bed in Liberia dying of Ebola, and I prayed, God, I desperately want to be faithful. A song was playing on my computer from an album that we had bought for our kids. And that song was from the book of Romans. And it said, what can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus? Nothing, nothing, nothing. And I realized in that moment that that lesson I had learned those 10 or 11 years or 12 years before, that God will give you everything you need to be faithful to Him. What more do you need to be faithful to God when you're looking death in the eye than the reassurance that nothing can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, not even death itself? And I understand that lesson in a much deeper way today than I did a year and a half ago.
I think a lesson that I have learned or am learning is you can see we're emotional tonight, and we've been this way for a year now. We've lived in this difficult space of, I'm so grateful to have Kent, that God spared his life. I'm daily thankful for that. And yet, so many others weren't spared. I have friends who've lost their husbands this year. I have friends who are fighting their life every day against cancer. And sometimes it's just hard to say God is good, even though we know it's true. And so I guess what I've learned is that that's okay to be in that space. It's okay to ask those hard questions because God can take it. He can take it. What I'm learning is that He's faithful. Each morning, new mercies I see. And I've learned that the Lord is great and very powerful, and there's no limit to what He knows. And sometimes I have to read that again every day to remember.
We moved to Liberia because God called us. He called us to be ambassadors of the kingdom of God, to be ambassadors of reconciliation, to participate in His reconciliation of all things and all people to Himself. He called us to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them to obey everything that He's commanded us. And that's why we went. And that's why we want to be done with the traveling and the speaking and the writing, and we want to go back to the life we were trying to start of making disciples, of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with people who don't know Him. But that's the same calling He has given all of us. That's not unique to people who want to move to a place like Liberia. He has called all of us to go and make disciples, to be disciples making disciples. He's called all of us, wherever we are, whatever our occupation, wherever we live, to be ambassadors of reconciliation, proclaiming to the world. It says in 2 Corinthians, we speak for Christ when we say, come back to God. It's as if God was making his appeal through us. And so we wanted to come tonight and share our story, share our vulnerability with you, and pray that God would use it to touch you wherever you are, to hear his calling on your life. And that was my prayer at the beginning of this talk, that God would get us out of the way and speak to your hearts. And that's my prayer as we end, that you wouldn't remember Kent and Amber Brantley, but you would remember what God has spoken to your heart this evening, at the beginning of this weekend.
I think we all want to thank you for what you've shared and being vulnerable. That's okay. That's okay. I hope you've had a good evening. I think we've learned a lot tonight. And maybe if I can ask you all to stand and we'll close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here together. We thank you for what you have shared with us tonight through your servants. We thank you for the example of David and Becky Thompson and the life that they have given to Africa. They went because you called them, not because that was where they wanted to go, but you called them there and they saw what you had in store for you, for them. We thank you for the Roberts and the Crognallis and taking their children and all that they have done there at Tenwick and will continue to do. And I lift Kent and Amber up to you and just the tremendous witness that they have been for you, for the love that you have for all of mankind. And we thank you for their dedication. We thank you for their commitment to you. And we pray that you would help them to see the doors that you are opening for them and help them to get back to where they had planned, but perhaps not recognizing that you had a little detour for them. We thank you for this evening. We thank you for the fellowship that we'll have. And we pray that you would give us a good night's rest and help us to continue to have a blessed time together this weekend of renewal. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.